Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayu, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. And today, I know I say this seems like almost every week when I have a special guest, that I have a special guest. Well, I do have three very special guests today with me, and they are employees of the Chamber of Commerce, as I am. And so I'll introduce them, and then I'll explain why we're doing this today. In no particular order, we have Jackie Butler, who is our Vice President for Government Relations at the Chamber and oversees three divisions at the Chamber: Armed Forces, Education, and Advocacy, Education and Workforce and Advocacy, and Minda Villarreal, who is our senior employee in terms of time in service. And Minda has seen a lot through the Chamber over the years. Minda is our Vice President for our Business Development Division. And Patrick Espinosa. Patrick is our Director of Marketing and Communications for the Chamber of Commerce. So welcome to all three of you. Thank you for being here. Before we get started with some Q&A, let me explain why we're doing this today. And if I'm correct, this is airing, even though everyone knows it's a recorded show. It'll air this Saturday, the 15th of October. And the reason it's airing this weekend is because next Monday, the 17th of October through Friday, has been designated by our governor, Governor Abbott, as Chamber Week in the state of Texas. So celebration of chambers of commerce and what they do all across the nation, all across the world. So we wanted to take this opportunity to maybe, I guess we could excuse ourselves if we're tooting our own horns, but the most asked question I think all of us get wherever we go, especially if one of our salespeople are talking to someone about joining the chamber, is what does a chamber do? So we hope today to give you a little bit of an education on this. And by the way, in this Sunday's El Paso Times, we have a guest column that talks a little bit about what the chamber, what all chambers do, and certainly what ours does in particular. So now I'll be quiet and ask Jackie to explain to our listening audience a little bit about what occupies your and your staff's day every day.
Well, thanks so much for having us here today. It's always a pleasure to talk about what the Chamber does. As you mentioned, I oversee our Government Relations Division, as well as our Education and Workforce Division and our Armed Forces Division at the Chamber. Most people don't really know what goes on in those committee meetings, but they are volunteer-driven. So we have committees that comprise each of those subject areas that meet on a regular basis and really meet to discuss and to address the needs of the community in those respective areas. As an example, in our Armed Forces Division, we meet every month and we hear from different aspects of Fort Bliss and the installation and regional military installations as well, about different aspects of what's happening on base, and hear from community partners who also work in the area of military affairs and armed forces advocacy, so that we really can synchronize community efforts around our military personnel and the installations that are in the region as well. Our Government Relations Division is focused on policy and advocacy efforts that help provide a positive business climate for El Paso. We really try to be a bridge between the public sector and the private sector in our Government Relations Division. So we undertake efforts such as taking El Pasoans to Washington, D.C. and Austin on a regular basis so that we can address the needs of our community and particularly the business community with our legislators in Austin and D.C. Our Education and Workforce Development Division works very closely with education stakeholders in the community, such as UTEP and EPCC and our local school districts, to work on education and workforce needs. And it's really policy focused. So we put together legislative agendas that address you know, the community's needs as a whole, so that when we go to Austin and Washington, D.C., we know we're all working off of the same agenda that addresses the whole community.
I like hearing you say this, and I already know this stuff. But as an example, you mentioned Austin and Washington, D.C., but the inner city visits.
Yes.
Why don't you mention the most recent one, since the judge, I'm speaking of County Judge Veronica Escobar, at today, this was recorded Wednesday, October the 12th, and we just finished having our State of the County address by Judge Escobar. She mentioned our trip. So why don't you touch a little bit on the inner city visit and its value to El Paso and our region?
Sure. So as I mentioned, one of the central functions of the chamber and advocacy in general is to bring the community together towards common goals and to work with the public sector, so our elected leadership and the private sector, to address the community's needs. And one of the most exciting initiatives that we do at the chamber is the inner city visit. This past April, we went to San Diego, and we took a delegation of 40 El Pasoans to San Diego. The county judge was on the trip, as well as our mayor and several other elected leadership, which is key to making these events a success. Because then when we come back home, we're able to implement some of the lessons learned through their leadership. In San Diego, we really got a firsthand look at how the city of San Diego, the community there, works with the community in Tijuana across the border. They really have a very cohesive, collaborative effort in San Diego, Tijuana, that was eye-opening for us here in El Paso, and really showed us what great things can be done when two binational communities are able to work together and communicate and collaborate. And so that was the key takeaway from San Diego. We spent a full 2 days there and learned about, you know, many things that they do in San Diego very well, including economic development and healthcare. We also were able to really strengthen the relationship between the El Paso Chihuahuas and the San Diego Padres, which was fun. But really the key takeaway was how can we in El Paso really strengthen our efforts in working together with Ciudad Juarez?
Yeah. One of the things we learned was that the city of San Diego has an office in Tijuana, and the city of Tijuana has a municipal office in the city of San Diego. And when they go on their advocacy trips, they go to Mexico City as one region, and they take the U.S. citizens, the San Diegans, with them. When we go to Washington, when they go to Washington, D.C., they take the folks from Tijuana with them to advocate. And we're going to actually emulate that in our spring trip next year to Washington to invite our partners in Juarez, including our newly elected Mayor Cavada, as well as our Council General Bucio, other leadership from the maquila industry, from their Chamber of Commerce in Juarez, which is Canaco, and others. So moving on, Minda, talk to us a little bit about the Business Development Division.
Thank you. Business Development Division of the Chamber's goal is to assist. Our mission in life as a division is to assist local businesses, whether they're small, they're medium, or they're large. Majority of our clients is pretty much focused on small businesses. They're the one that really, really needs assistance. So we start with those that are looking into opening a business but really don't know how and what does it take to open their business. So they come to us. We do a one-on-one mentorship with a lot of these individuals that are looking into opening their business. And then we give them step one, step two, step three of what they need to do to open their business. So those are business startup. We also provide them with guidance on funding. A majority of those business startups are looking into funding. So we help them put together their business plan. We help them put together their packet for their loan application. And then they go over. We don't provide loans. The chamber does not do that. But what we do is help them put together their loan application so that they can be successful in going into whichever banks they want to go to. So that's a business startup. On those that are in business for several years and they're ready to go to the next step but don't know how, we also go and assess them on that. We provide them with a one-on-one mentorship again and look at their business. The partners that we have in doing this is SCORE, Service Corp Retired Executive. And we also have as a partner that's located inside the chamber, the Veterans Business Association. So any veterans that are looking into opening their business, we guide them over to our Veterans Business Association partners.
Right, Mr. Sparks.
Mr. Sparks, yes. So we provide them guidance. We sit down with them, give them some assessment on what their business looks like at the moment, and then provide them with a list of recommended items that they need to take in to make their business successful. We also provide training, quite a bit of training for those businesses that really, really needs it, especially small business. So we provide training. We also provide some venues that they can network. We are we put together a networking activities, networking events to give them the opportunity to be able to network with other local businesses. Another program that we have is our procurement program. Very, very successful, and a lot of business needs it. There is quite a bit of opportunities. The bond that just got passed from the Isleta Independent School District, we're keeping an eye on that. We are we're given a list of what they're going to be looking for, and then we find those businesses that would be a good match for that. Obviously, Isleta Independent School District is still going to choose who they are going to hire, but we provide them a list of matches that can do the work for them. So our procurement program has been very, very successful. That's what a lot of our local businesses looks for, especially those that are contractors, subcontractors, prime contractors that needs local companies that can do business with them.
Thank you. And there's something else. When you mentioned training, it triggered a thought. In light of what's coming up, presumably on December the 1st, the Department of Labor and their new standards for compensation and exempt or non-exempt employees, which, by the way, for those of you who are small business owners, pay attention to it if you haven't already, because it's coming upon you whether you're prepared or not. And we're praying now that the Congress, because the House of Representatives recently passed a proposed bill that has to go through the Senate that would delay for small business and nonprofits the effective date until sometime next year. But that notwithstanding, whether it's December 1st or sometime next year, all of us have to be in compliance. And that means a hit to your bottom line, because you'll be paying more money and you'll have to make sure you comply with DOL standards as to whether an employee is classified as, we'll use the term supervisor, even though they may not be supervising someone. There's some very clear definitions as to what classifies you as an exempt employee or non-exempt. Non-exempt, of course, have to be paid for overtime. Exempt, do not. And they're going to be tough on the enforcement side of that as well. These are the kinds of things that we host events with law firms who come in, chamber member law firms, and on their own time, educate and inform the members on how to prepare for this, because most small businesses can't afford to hire an attorney or an HR person specifically to prepare them for that event, correct? So now moving on, and we do have another division we haven't touched on, we'll touch on momentarily. Let's talk about what you do, Patrick, for the Chamber to get the word out, to get the message out.
Well, I handle all the marketing and communications for the Chamber, mainly using the vehicles of our website, our social media platforms. We have our Facebook account. We have a Twitter account. We also have our Instagram account. And most recently, we brought back our blog, which I'm calling the Blogspot. And so if you'd like to see Richard's comments before they come out on Sunday, they are on our website via our Blogspot. You can
tell them how to get to the website.
Our website is probably one of the easiest URLs that you can imagine for our community. It's www.elpaso.org. Simple as that. We do have billboards across the community that are up that say, you know, come see us on our website, and that's all you see is www.elpaso.org. There's a lot of great resources on our website. You can read more about what Jackie Butler and her department does, and Minda Villarreal and her department, and all the initiatives that they have going on. I know that she touched briefly on a lot of the things that they do, but you can really get into detail on our website to see exactly what they do, what events are coming up. We do have a calendar on there, particularly our State of the County event we had today was plastered all over our website, as well as our gala coming up in November 18th, right before Thanksgiving. So you can go on our website and see all about that as well. We do have small initiatives that we do with our chamber ambassadors, where they go out to ribbon cuttings, new members in our community, some that have opened their business via help from our business development department. And we have our chamber ambassadors go out there and really support those businesses with ribbon cuttings and grand openings. And you can also see that great information on our website, as well as pictures from all of our events we have on our Facebook page. Richard is constantly posting on our Twitter account when he and our government relations division is out of town. And so you get great updates from them as well.
Great. Thank you. And in fact, you just reminded me of something, because I don't post as often as I probably should, because I'm not the guy who likes to sit in the front row and take a picture with his cell phone and become obvious. But I did post a few pictures from our visit. Jackie and I, along with a number of our leadership volunteers, were in Washington this last week for the Association of the United States Armies annual symposium. So we were blessed to have a very successful trip in terms of the number of meetings we had and the key people that with whom we met. Leadership in the Army, leadership in the Pentagon, and we also hosted El Paso Night in partnership with the AUSA, as well as the City of El Paso, and I think Tigua Inc. are all key partners in hosting this reception. And we had 2, 3, and 4-star generals attending our reception and spending some time with us, talking to us about El Paso and how important Fort Bliss is to them, and importantly to us, how they view our community and its support of Fort Bliss. So I did post some pictures with all these individuals, some of them current leaders, some of them recently past leaders who've gone on to move up to 3-star and 4-star, and some who are retired now who still are in the defense industry and come to visit, spend time with us, and find out what's going on more currently in our community. So as I try to have this conversation about the values of chambers of commerce, the initial part of this was for the individuals listening to know what our chamber does. And that's just a small sampling, believe it or not, of what we do with a very small staff of just 17 employees, all of whom I think we can safely say multitask on a regular basis. But I want to bring us back to chambers of commerce in general. So as I indicated in my article, there's some 13,000 estimated chambers of commerce across the globe. There are at least 3,000 chambers in the nation, and of those, several hundred in the state of Texas alone. And in fact, I point out that, because I hear this a lot too, why are there so many chambers of commerce? So there's a misperception in El Paso that there's somehow many, many, many chambers of commerce. We only have two chambers of commerce in El Paso, the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce and the El Paso Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. It's led by my counterpart, Cindy Ramos Davidson. And their focus, I don't mean to speak for them, but their focus is mostly in minority women business efforts. They have a training center there that helps them. They do a very good job. And we do our very best to try and not to duplicate efforts between our organizations, even though many of our members are also members of the Hispanic Chamber and vice versa. And so we each bring a value to the community. I've been doing this for about 13 years, November the 2nd at the Chamber officially, 13 years. And I still remember my very first regional meeting. I went to Denver to meet with the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives. And I was brand new. You know, I didn't even have a baptism yet in the chamber world. And I'm listening to the CEO of the ACCE speak. And his words echo through my mind almost on a daily basis. And his words were, and still are, if you have seen one chamber, you have seen one chamber. And the message there is, we're all different. No matter where you go in the world, in the country, in the state, each chamber has a different mission as defined by their leadership. As an example, the Greater Houston Partnership, they're focused on a regional approach in that area, but they oversee economic development in one organization, as well as all the things we do that you just mentioned. And then you go to other cities who are really small communities, and the chamber there might be in charge of the annual parade leading up to the rodeo. And our chamber, we're somewhere in between. We're not in charge of economic development. We partner with the Borderplex Alliance. They're the ones in charge of recruitment of industry. And we advocate public policy that hopefully positively impacts what they're trying to do through their recruitment of industry. We also partner with the city, and we also partner with the county. So that's sort of an abbreviated version of what chambers are and what they do. Some interesting statistics to share. This was sent to me by the Texas Association of Business, who also used to be known as the Texas Association of Business and Chambers of Commerce many years ago. 36% more likely to think favorably of insurance companies if they're a member of the chamber, their chamber in whatever community. 49% more likely to think favorably of small business, and 80% more likely to purchase goods or services from a company in the future if they know they're a member of a chamber of commerce. And I think those statistics aren't articulated often enough. In fact, I'm going to give those to Patrick so he can post them on our website. But the point being, chambers of commerce carry with them a credibility, kind of like the Better Business Bureau does. If you're a member of the Better Business Bureau, there's a more likelihood that that consumer will view that organization at a higher level of credibility, because otherwise they know they can't continue that membership. So we have about 5 minutes remaining. I'd like for either of you, any of you, to offer some thoughts that you'd like for closing comments to share with our audience. Minda, why don't we go with you first? Do you have anything?
Well, I think you know, you have heard what this chamber does. I mean, obviously, we will not be able to cover everything that we do. But as far as my division is concerned, if there's anybody that are interested in fulfilling the American dream and wanted to open a business, allow us to help you. And if you are in business and you are ready to go into the next level, come see us. And I can assure you that we can help you.
Thank you. This is not good for sales, but I have to say, that we offer these services initially, the initial consultations, for free even to non-members of the chamber, right? That's great. Jackie, any closing thoughts?
I'd just like to reiterate that we really focus very heavily at the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce on advocacy and public policy. A lot of people don't really think of the Chamber of Commerce as an advocacy organization, but we put a lot of time and effort into that, and we have subject matter experts from across the community who are involved in those efforts as well. So I'd encourage anybody who is interested in policy and how it affects our community, any area, you know, between military affairs or transportation, local development policy, federal policies and regulations that affect business, we are addressing those on a daily basis at the Chamber, and we encourage you to come find out how you can participate and be part of the process or at least contribute to those efforts.
Thank you. I think that's a very succinct message to deliver. And so I would offer this as well. A really good friend of mine, it's in the article that's on our website, I guess, and that will be in the Times on Sunday. A good friend of mine, Chris Mead, one of the first people I met when I got into the chamber world, wrote a book. It's called The Magicians of Main Street, and it focuses on chambers of commerce across the planet and what they do. And in there, I discovered El Paso and our own Chamber of Commerce in 1914 put up the money, $50,000, to fund the money to go to Austin to get the College of Mines started, which is now the University of Texas at El Paso. Thoughts?
I'm going to give you two. Excuse me. I'm going to give you two addresses. One, our website, elpaso.org. Visit that. You get a lot of great information about all the inner workings of the chamber and how we're heavily involved in the community. And we have our physical address, 10 Civic Center Plaza. Come down and visit us. We have a great lobby, and we have one of the best views of the ballpark than anyone in the city. We are right next door to the ballpark, and we have the fountain that's right behind us. That's a great art piece, and it's a great experience. So come down and visit us.
So again, to close with the last minute we have and the cue from Dennis, you'll forgive me. I'm going hoarse this afternoon, but I want to point out elpaso.org. That's the site to go to. That's where everything starts, and our team of professionals at the chamber are there to help you. And then, as I always do, one last plug for contributing money to KTEP.org. That's our NPR affiliate. And as you know, they're nonprofit. So anything you can do to help, we'd appreciate it. Take advantage of this upcoming holiday season and support our public radio station, KTEP. Be generous. Thank you. Have a wonderful Saturday. And thank you to my guests. Today, you did wonderfully. Thank you very much.